X for excellency. Even my thumb, scrolling through the email summary, was in shock, moving jerkily, unable to comprehend what it was scrolling over. A steady parade of aunts, uncles, cousins, nephews, nieces. Why? They'd been right here, many of them, and could have just said what they wanted to. I opened one out of curiosity, and my fingers froze over the screen. I hadn't seen that coming. Had you? I moved in with X a little over 3 years ago. The family grapevine had sizzled with the news that he wanted a companion, someone to live with him, whom he could chat with in the evenings, since getting out and about was increasingly difficult, and he was lonely. He wouldn't actually pay for the service as a matter of principle, but all reasonable expenses would be covered. And perhaps even unreasonable ones. After 2 weeks of chatter and no takers, I decided to apply for the position. X was my great uncle on my father's side, and I'd always admired him. He was a man of infinite variety, a charming companion at family get-togethers, a font of fabulous stories. All the world he'd experienced had not filled him up, and he had an unquenchable thirst for life. There was an interview. It appeared to be an invitation to dinner, and I didn't recognize it as an interview, but that's what it was. We spent an evening together, talking, eating, and shooting the breeze. It got disgracefully late, and he offered me the use of his guest room for the night. The next morning, we ate a manly breakfast together, each silent behind his newspaper, and around the time I was beginning to think I'd blown my chances, he folded his newspaper and asked, "So, when would you like to move in?" His large and elegant flat was always active. X couldn't go out to the world, so the world came to him instead. I came to the game with the arrogance of youth, assuming I was the giver. But my horizons doubled faster than Moore's law. My interests widened to encompass everything, and I began to appreciate the timeless values of kindness, wisdom, and grace. I continued to work my day job, and X was soon a rock star with my colleagues, who treated him like royalty. He absolutely lived up to his old moniker of X for excellency. His evening soirees had a booming masculine boisterousness, even though women were always present. Friends, friends of friends, and special guests on special subjects. His mind was an oyster, drawing in every drop of knowledge and every exchange of ideas that came its way. The diversity of topics was breathtaking. Everything was robustly debated. As his body crumbled around him, his intellectual vigor remained simply astounding. These fabulous evenings were only occasional. But after each of them, he'd be supercharged for days, energized. His eyes would shine and his voice ring with excitement. His breathing would be deep and even, his heartbeat steady, and his cheeks flushed with enthusiasm. Then the battery would slowly drain out. And we'd begin planning the next one. It was a stunning way to live. My admiration and respect for him grew into something far warmer and more personal. So when he went to bed, as usual, one night, and just didn't wake up the next morning, I can frankly admit that I was devastated. I informed my parents and X's sister, now the senior-most member of the family. Relatives I'd never seen turned up, friends and acquaintances. I flitted vacantly through the rooms that were so crammed with people, yet spectacularly empty of meaning. The air in the apartment was heavy with the scent of his favorite tube roses. Thick white pillar candles burnt everywhere. X had loved them. Even in my wretchedness, I'd known that the elegance and hospitality of his home would be critically important to X. I asked X's sister, my great aunt, how I could contribute. Was there something I should do? Would she like to move into one of the available bedrooms to supervise operations? I could easily prepare a room for her. She was most welcome in her brother's home. She looked long and hard at me. Then she reached out and put her hand on my head. "Bless you," she said. "You were kind to him." She had no idea. It was an incredibly difficult day. Everyone was kind to me. A little too much, in fact. They almost tripped over themselves to offer help. It was discordant. But I didn't have the energy to figure it out. My mother suggested I come home for the night. And that shocked me. I couldn't just walk out because X was gone. There were responsibilities, including the staff, who'd been red-eyed, but efficient and dignified all day. After everyone left, late at night, I stood in X's empty bedroom, saying goodnight and goodbye. And I turned in for the night in the suffocating silence of the apartment. I tossed and turned, beset by crowding memories. At some point, I gave up the pretense and picked up my phone, which I hadn't touched all day. There were hundreds of messages, but I was in no mood to read them. I switched to the emails, looking for something to distract me. And that's when I was surprised to see so many from family members. Why hadn't they just spoken to me? It's when I opened one, and then a second, and a third, that I understood why they had chosen this one-step-removed method of communication. I felt sick. I was angry. I was just plain shocked. Such indecent haste. It hadn't even been a day. But they were each in a frantic hurry to get their oar in first. There were requests, appeals, I don't know what to call them. Money for medical treatment at a swanky hospital? For a course at Harvard that would improve their job prospects? Money for a holiday? They hadn't been on one this year. Money to buy a flat? A better flat? A better car? A better whatnot? I just couldn't digest the vulgarity of it. And how was I supposed to have all this money? I was a salaried man. Yes, I'd saved most of it these last few years because X wouldn't have me spend a penny. He insisted that was the deal and that he was still getting the better end of the bargain. But I couldn't help all these people with their inflated expectations. I was nauseated. And that's when the pieces started falling together. When it had first got out that I'd accepted X's offer, I'd been mercilessly taunted about doing it for the money. Why else would anyone pander to an old man? And jokingly, I'd countered that naturally it was a proviso of the deal that X leave everything to me. Now I understood the over-solicitousness of the family, why they'd been so eager to propitiate me, and why my mother, in a bid to protect me, had indicated I should move out of the apartment immediately. And my great-aunt's long pause before giving her blessings. She had evaluated and made a judgment. Apparently, I'd not been found wanting. I remembered a day I'd been called at work by the agitated house staff. They were worried about X. He and his lawyer were in a heated argument. Or at least X was heated, overheated. I asked to speak to X right away and was told in no uncertain terms, "You stay out of this. It's got nothing to do with you." But as he summarily disconnected, I heard the lawyer saying, It's got everything. I excused myself from work immediately, and they were still at it when I got there. X had wanted to change his will, and thank God I got home in time to threaten him right back. I wasn't having any of it. I didn't care what the lawyer's point was. Mine was that it would ruin our friendship. That had carried the day. I felt disgusted to the core of my being. It soured my memories of X to think they were viewed with such a jaundiced eye. I tossed my phone aside in anger, just as it pinged. I didn't want to even touch it. But a morbid curiosity made me grab it and glare fiercely at it. A text from my great aunt. Unusual. So I opened it. I don't believe what they are saying. Your eyes were full of sadness. You have my blessings and my protection. You were good to my brother. I studied that text a long time, full of errors and mistyping from her arthritic old fingers. But its message could not have been more cherished. I sent her a long row of folded hands in grateful acknowledgement. Then I rolled over, pulled the bedsheet over my eyes, and dropped into an easy sleep.